Making the headlines on Breakfast Briefing.
Well, starting with the Irish Independent this morning, its front page reads, big tech firms accused of AI washing as Meta cuts 350 jobs. The news of these job losses, of course, coming through yesterday, which amounts to 20% of the company's Irish workforce. Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, says its decision to cut 10% of its global workforce is to facilitate major investment in artificial intelligence. But the Independent says, has Trinity College professor Na Fu quoted saying they're using that as an excuse to cut staff and costs for non-AI economic reasons. An organiser from the Communication Workers Union also says AI has become a market-favoured buzz term for job cuts in the industry. And in further unfortunate but probably not very unexpected news, when you see the way the tech industry is going, government sources say they're anticipating further job cuts in the tech sector shortly, according to the Irish Times. It says it's understood industry figures have privately warned ministers and officials that as many as 80% of tech jobs globally could be lost over the coming decade. And I remember when I was leaving school anyway, we were told tech is where it's at. But unfortunately, an uncertain time ahead for anyone working in that particular sector. Now, if ever there was a photo to prove Donald and Melania Trump are truly, madly, deeply in love, the photo on the front of the Irish Times is not it. The US President and the First Lady have their cheeks pushed together with a pained sort of smile on Melania's face, and Donald Trump looking like he might actually be in physical pain. It was taken during the congressional picnic held at the White House earlier this week. Turning to the Irish Examiner, which also leads with the Meta job losses. It also goes with the awful video footage that emerged from Israel yesterday, which shows illegally detained activists from the Global Summit Flotilla, including, of course, 14 Irish citizens, being handcuffed, dragged and forced to kneel with their heads touching the floor, all while National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir walks amongst them, heckling them. The Irish Examiner says status quo with Israel is, quote, no longer tenable, according to the Taoiseach, given its scant regard for EU citizens. Micheál Martin condemned this incident yesterday and is quoted here saying he'll seek broader engagement, or agreement rather, at European level, particularly in terms of the EU-Israeli Association Agreement. Now, I know Helen McEntee said after the last meeting of European Foreign Affairs Minister, there was a noticeable shift in attitudes towards Israel. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose, if this latest incident is enough to trigger some action. The Irish Daily Mail goes with the scenes at the Oireachtas Media Committee yesterday. The headline reads, RTE told, clean up your act on pay. And this comes after it emerged some staff at the broadcaster are breaching the €250,000 pay cap, as some stars are also paid through third-party production companies for additional work beyond the salaries published in the top 10 list. It also references comments from former RTE sports presenter and now Fine Gael Senator Evanne Quillen that she was badly treated by the head of her department in RTE. And I'm not quite sure how much public interest there is in this particular story in the grand scheme of things. I think we might all have a bit of RTE payments scandal fatigue. Director General Kevin Backhurst insisting they're not aware anyway of any other issues lurking. But I suppose we'll have to wait and see on that one. Inside the Irish Times, Miriam Lohr describes it as Radio Telefiche entertainment, the gift that keeps giving and taking. Now, inside the Irish Independent, the headline on page six says Dublin City Council's €504 million retrofit bill is 137 times higher than other councils. The paper asked 30 of Ireland's 31 local authorities, excluding DCC, about how they plan to bring their headquarters up to standard with those looming energy efficiency targets in 2030. Eight councils provided total estimates for how much they expect to spend, including €9.7 million in Kerry and €1.2 million in Carlow. I know a lot of people were left scratching their heads when it emerged these plans from Dublin City Council to retrofit their HQ in Wood Quay. Reporter Ashley Maloney writes from Leeds, where President Catherine Connolly concluded her first official visit to England yesterday. And to be honest, given her unexpected basketball display during the election campaign, you never quite know what President Connolly is going to come out with. She revealed yesterday she quit smoking cigars while studying at the University of Leeds in the 80s after realising she couldn't run a mile. Now, I haven't smoked a cigar in my life and I don't think I can run a mile. But she completed her master's over there in Leeds in clinical psychology in 1981 and, of course, is an avid runner. Taking a quick look at the British papers, the Financial Times says Chancellor Rachel Reeves has abandoned plans for caps on essential food prices after a fierce backlash from supermarkets. The Guardian reports potential Labour leadership contender Andy Burnham would back tougher immigration reforms if he returns to frontline politics. While the Daily Star over there leads with King Charles being splattered by a seagull during a public appearance on day two of his visit to Northern Ireland. And staying with King Charles, just to finish up, Radio Caroline, which of course was launched as a pirate station back in the 60s but is now based in Essex, has been forced to apologise after mistakenly announcing the death of Britain's king. It says a computer error triggered emergency procedures prepared for the death of a monarch, causing programming to go off air. The station later issued an on-air apology and says it regrets any distress caused to King Charles and its listeners. I think having only begun his reign 3 years ago, he would be hoping to stay around for a few more years. And those are the stories making the headlines in today's papers.